Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you hung out with us a little bit longer because we got our good friend Karen Kerrigan back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Karen was one of the folks who's been with me since November of 97, since the first month that we were on the air, way back in the last century. Of course, she was only 8 when she started with us back then, but she is the, folks, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than Karen Kerrigan. I've been saying that for a long time. It continues to be true. She's the president and the founder of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. If you ever wonder if other people wake up and think about you every morning and what they can do to help you, well, just rest assured, Karen does that. And I'm glad to say she's our good friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. I checked my license and my ID to make sure I was born then in 97. Yep, sure enough I was. Well, sure enough I was. So anyway, I was around, you were telling the truth.
I said you were only 8, so you know, I mean, I'm trying to work with you here, Karen.
You are. You're doing a good job. You're doing a great job.
Karen, while the candidates are trying to get their acts together and get things sorted out, the parties are trying to get their candidates sorted out. You know, I really don't feel like boring into what each one of the candidates may or may not do because we don't exactly know who the Democrats are going to have.
Right.
So we don't, you know. So I'm not really all that interested. And one way or the other, in you know, whether it's Obama or whether it's Clinton, until we get one, we won't really know, you know, how to evaluate what they're going to do. But in the meantime, there's a whole government going on in the background, isn't there? That's wreaking chaos probably on small business.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. There's so much stuff, you know, that's happening up on Capitol Hill and the regulatory agencies, initiatives that are being proposed. And you're right. I mean, the focus right now pretty much is on the candidates. That's where what the news media has been following, and to a certain extent, the political and the media establishment in Washington, D.C. as well. But you're right. There's a lot going on. But then to a certain extent, Jim, there isn't a lot going on. I'm trying to figure out. I mean, there's a push. There's a chaotic push of activity. But then, you know, we know at the end of the day, some of this stuff or most of this stuff won't get done. But I can tell you a lot of the things that are being voted on in the House and the Senate are not small business friendly. They're not small business friendly. And
give us some examples.
Well, you know, a good example is this energy package that's going to be voted on in the House today. Now, you know, of course, it's being steeped in the rhetoric of populist rhetoric of big oil and price gougers and things like that. But this energy package, of course, is going to raise taxes on our energy industry. Now, I don't know how that helps in terms of, you know, helping consumers at the pump with costs. It certainly doesn't help or give energy companies any more incentive to develop or produce or to invest in what they do, and it could be very damaging to our economy at a time when our economy is pretty precarious at this state. You know, really damaging one of our key industries, huh? Excuse
politicians
me?
Still don't get they still don't get it. They still think that corporations pay taxes, don't they?
They do. They do. And this is sort of one of those, really one of those sort of industrial type of policy type of things where, you know, they want to basically, you know, take the resources of the energy industry and then take that money, give it to government, and then government can put it back in what they think is, you know, cleaner energy, more efficient energy. So it's you know, government-driven as opposed to market-driven. And we've contended, yeah, like, look, the market has every incentive at this point, and it's been doing it, you know, making energy production cleaner. Anything that's being output into the atmosphere is certainly more cleaner. Businesses mm-hmm. want to run more efficiently because from a bottom-line perspective, you know, it costs them money not to be efficient. So anyway, this is just one of those things, and it's going to be voted on, I think, today in the House. So, so we're
watching
that.
Well, see, this goes back to the problem we got here, folks, is we got politicians who think businesses are the enemy, the marketplace is the enemy. We got folks like that. That's where a lot of the problems start. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, president and the founder of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and a beautician out the wheel. We're going downtown.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, small business advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the president and founder of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org, and it's an outstanding website, an outstanding organization. That is being operated by some outstanding people who absolutely wake up every morning trying to figure out what they can do to help you, small business owners, in your business. And I encourage you to go to their website. I encourage you to make a small investment, become part of their group. You can sign up for their stuff. You can still get their newsletters and their email blasts to tell you what's going on, and you can read their website. You can use all that stuff. But make a contribution to them, folks, so that they can continue the fight. And so that they can show up when all these meetings are happening, when all the other lobbyists show up and call on members of Congress, call on the administration, call on different groups on their behalf. We need somebody showing up on our behalf, and that's what Karen and her organization does. And Karen, I want you to know I sleep a little bit better. You know, there's just a few of you guys against hundreds of these other guys, but I do feel a little bit more peaceful and safe when you guys are around.
So much, Jim. I mean, we do, you know, fight the good fight, you know, when we need to, and we're very passionate about, you know, education, about our advocacy work, about making our point known, about really demanding that we have a seat at the table so that policymakers and members of Congress really understand how a legislative initiative or a regulatory initiative will impact the small business sector. And you know, a lot of things that sound real good have unintended consequences for the market and for small business. And that's what we say, look, going into this, this is what you should know, because this will be the outcome that you're not expecting. And it'd be very dangerous for our economy and for the business sector. And just a lot of this stuff is passing, and whether it's new workplace rules on small business or mandates on small business or, you know, not making some tax incentives permanent for small business. I mean, these things are just all very damaging from a competitiveness perspective. And so, you know, capital and jobs and business are going to move elsewhere, and unfortunately that's overseas. Mm-hmm. There's no way
But small businesses only a small percentage of small businesses have the luxury of doing that.
That's true. But then, you know, their market dissipates in terms of the larger companies and just, you know, a lot of the economic activity that takes place if we have a very vibrant business sector. But, you know, there are small businesses really are being forced to look overseas, to expand overseas, because, you know, they know that that's where they need to go to sell their products and services if they're going to continue to grow. But, you know, no president can say, I'm going to stop jobs from going overseas by increasing taxes on business. And that's what some of right. them are proposing. We're like, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. I mean, capital is a coward, and capital
right.
and labor are so mobile. They're going to go where there is a business-friendly environment. So, and this is what we're trying
what
to
they,
do.
What they compounded, Karen, they, a lot more and more they're compounding this problem not only by raising taxes, making it more difficult for us to operate and to be profitable, but they're also shutting down the trade opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
They ought to be lowering our taxes to help us get more access to capital and opening up trade routes so that we can and trade treaties so that we can do business around the world, so that small business owners can benefit from globalization, which is not a political thing. Globalization is a natural process. It's been going on for thousands of years, and we need if they wanted to really help the economy, if they really knew how to grow jobs, which is what they say they try to do. I love it when a politician says, we're about jobs. We're going to grow jobs. Well, you know what? You don't have a clue about how to grow a job. If you did, you'd lower our taxes and you'd open up trade barriers.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the world is so, so small, Jim, as you know, and it's getting smaller every day. You know, really, putting up trade barriers and saying, well, we're not going to trade with that country, you know, unless they pay their workers a certain minimum wage or unless they have certain environmental regulations, really is like New York saying to New Jersey, we're not going to let our business owners sell your guys any stuff unless you do it our way. I mean, that's exactly what it's like, Jim. I mean, and that's nuts, right? Wouldn't you say that's crazy for a governor?
Or it's like saying to a...
Yeah, we're not going
to
let
It's like saying, Karen, to somebody who's coming to New York to visit, I'm sorry, you're from Montana. We're not going to let you in because your state, we don't agree with what your state does. You know, it's trade. All that is, when somebody comes to New York to spend money, that's trade.
Well, and exactly. And that's the environment, because the world is so, so small. And this whole protectionist, you know, rhetoric, really is very damaging, because other countries, you know, they'll just bypass us. I mean, they'll just trade with, I mean, there's a whole big market out there, and they'll trade with other countries. But the good news is that many countries around the world, they want access to our markets, which is great. So, you know, I think trade is bigger than any politicians are in the United States in terms of the momentum and in terms of the push and in terms of the floodgates of global commerce. But still, you know, we're doing a lot to stop these agreements, or, you know, because of the rhetoric and because of the political maneuvering, we should be just vigorously moving forward, because everyone benefits. I mean, it's been documented, proven, case closed.
Over and over again.
Over and over again. Absolutely.
Bastiat said it, and there's also the peace dividend opportunity, Karen, that I've been talking about for a long time. And Frederick Bastiat said it over 160 years ago, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Yes.
Tintel, we're going to be right back with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, president of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. That's sbecouncil.org.
I want to be with you everywhere.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you use them to your advantage. There is no barrier to entry in either one of those sites. We built them for you. They're free. Just show up and come on in, and we'll let you hang out with us. Karen, what's new at sbecouncil.org?
Well, we got Ray is doing a little small business break, like every week, a little audio clip.
Rick Keating, Chief Economist.
Rick Keating, yeah, he does his Small Business Minute, which is really cool, and we're going to be sending that out in our e-news, and that's available via the website as well. So that's pretty exciting. We have a new patent reform paper that went out that's making waves up on Capitol Hill in terms of the need for patent reform and why it's important for small business and protecting intellectual property. That's currently on the website. That came out about a week and a half ago. We've been doing a lot of work on that, working both with Democrats and Republicans on that issue and educating the media as well, because it can get pretty complex. And, you know, and we're just forging ahead on a bunch of other stuff. We're just love what we do every day, and we love our members, and it's an exciting time to do what we do, but it's a dangerous time as well. And so we've got a lot to keep us busy. Let's put it that way, Jim.
There sure is. You know, I thought one of the things that I think is very telling, folks. And I just have to say this because I think it's important to say. During the campaign, the earlier part of the campaign, when there were more members, there were more candidates on both sides of the aisle, Chris Dodd, senator from Connecticut, senior senator from Connecticut, was campaigning for president.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was interesting, Karen, was he called himself, he billed himself as the pro-business Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why does any politician anywhere in the United States, why would they need to say to people listening, I am the pro-business politician? I mean, why would anybody need to say that? Why wouldn't every politician be in favor of business? I mean, the marketplace is where everything else springs from. Everything else comes from the marketplace.
Oh, you're right. I mean, that was his way, obviously, from a market perspective and from a business perspective, of differentiating himself from the other candidates. And you're like, well, yeah, that should tell you something, shouldn't it, about where our candidates stand.
I thought that was a very telling
Yeah.
Of all the things that happened during the campaigns, with all the different people, and you know all the lightweights and the backbenchers who were running. That of course he's not a backbench Democrat, but he's a backbencher on the presidential campaign side. But all those second, third tier candidates, of all the things that were said, that was the most telling.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you, and a lot of people didn't probably pick that up. But you know, it's a jolt to us in terms of, ooh, you know, isn't that different, right? But you're right.
People need to realize what I know, what I've come to know, and what you certainly know, Beverly. I'm sorry, Karen. Is that there are politicians out there who do not like business. They think I am the enemy.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. No, it's true. It's very true that, you know, basically we're, you know, greedy, and that we're, you know, in business. Are we doing what we're doing in terms of our profession because, you know, we're going to be hurting someone else or taking something from someone else, as opposed to giving and building
right.
and growing and contributing and adding value, not only to the economy, but to society as well.
Right. You know, Karen, one of the things that I want to do in the future is in the months ahead, when we get a candidate on either side, when we've officially got a candidate on both sides of the aisle, a Democrat candidate and a Republican candidate, I want you to come back on a regular basis and let's compare what they're saying and what those they really are. There's no sense in dissecting all that now because we don't know who's going to be in charge. And so happens, though, I would like for you to come back and spend some more time and help us sort through all the different promises. What do you think?
Oh gosh, yeah, we could drill down on an issue on multiple shows. I think that's very much worth doing. Very important that we do that because so much is at stake.
Absolutely, Karen. Give us that website one more time.
Sure, it's SBECouncil.org. Please come visit us. We got a lot of good stuff.
Thanks for being here, Karen. Thanks for all you do for small business.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
We'll see you next time. Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen, she's the best, and I mean that. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.